Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, December 10th, 2012, and this is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting your show tonight. My co-host Charlie Klein will be joining me momentarily. First off, let's make sure we say Merry Christmas, America. Yes, here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we do say Merry Christmas. We believe it's important to respect the holiday we are celebrating, and we don't hesitate to say Merry Christmas. So Merry Christmas, America, and may God bless America this Christmas holiday. Here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we understand the real problem here. What's facing our country today is a lack of true representation. Our government has been taken over by a bunch of politicians, the invasion of the politician, and we the people have become we the sheeple. And tonight, which I guess I should mention, tonight's show, we may cut it just a little bit short tonight. Today's been kind of a hectic day for me, so we're typically on from 7 to 9. May cut the show short just a little tonight, but we'll see. The main thing for tonight is to talk about what's going on as a general topic, what the Tea Party is doing, and the question, the key question for tonight is, will the Tea Partiers revolt against the GOP, Boehner, I call him Bonehead, or will they just surrender? Is this truly the end of the Tea Party? So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then we're going to have a show coming up, not this week, but next week. And, you know, a true tribute to the meaning of Christmas and what it means to be an American and to celebrate Christmas. Yes, the Christmas tree, the Christmas holiday, Merry Christmas here in the USA. And we can talk a little bit about the war on Christmas and those kind of things. The other thing is, we can talk about the Mayan calendar. Is the world going to end on December 21st? I myself don't plan on it. I can see all sorts of things, crises happening to us in the very near future, because I think they've already started happening with the collapse of this government and everything, and what's happening to our country, that we have no rights anymore, our constitution's been trashed, we have nothing but self-serving, greedy individuals in public office serving themselves and taking any kind of money they can get, and et cetera, et cetera. So I see lots of crises, but I don't see the world itself coming to an end on December 21st, and I'm not going to plan on it coming to an end. But there's definitely those that think something is going to happen. So we can talk about that some if you'd like. The other, when we talk about the Tea Party revolt, think about what it means when Senator Jim DeMint, one of the key Tea Partiers in Washington, when he leaves to go make millions of dollars at the Heritage Foundation. And, you know, there's kind of this mixed feelings about his leaving. I can understand that a Tea Partier being totally frustrated with what's happening in D.C., like with Bonehead going getting rid of all the conservatives out of the chairmanships of the different committees. So I can understand and appreciate why Jim DeMint would feel like he can't make a difference in Washington, D.C. But I also find it interesting that some million-dollar salary at the Heritage Foundation probably had some influence on that, too. We need to get people who actually want to be public servants, who actually aren't in it for the money, if we ever expect to make a difference. And the other part is we have to absolutely admit, face the fact that the parties are destroying us. It is the parties, the political parties, that are destroying us. The Tea Party revolt, you know, everything we had with this Tea Party movement that was going on was supposed to be nonpartisan. It was supposed to be getting back to the Constitution. It was supposed to be about limited government, fewer taxes. But too many Tea Party groups out there just had to go and let the GOP take over. And, I mean, that's truly, to me, what happened is the GOP defeated the Tea Party in 2012. That's kind of the way I see it. The GOP defeated the Tea Party movement in 2012. And the question is, these people who were so intent in doing something to turn around this country, the Tea Party movement, and I've always considered myself to be a Tea Partier. I was a Tea Partier before they had the movement, but that's because I don't care about political parties. The true meaning of a Tea Partier means you don't care about the parties, you care about the country first. But too many Tea Party groups were totally hijacked and taken over by the GOP. And the GOP just doesn't do what it's supposed to. It's no different. To face the fact, we have one party. The Democrats and the Republicans are all the same. It's just a brainwashing technique to try to convince you to vote for somebody. So, anyway, what's going to happen with the Tea Party movement going forward? Are they just totally surrendering to the actions of Bonehead up there? Are they going to revolt against it? What are they going to do? So it's going to be interesting to see how that's all going to play out. And like I say, tonight's just kind of an open discussion on the current events. Anything you want to talk about? Talk about the right to work in Michigan and how Detroit's falling apart. And then also, I'll mention one more thing real quick here before I go to Charlie. As many of you have heard, I've mentioned that my father had passed away in October. This Thursday, I'm not going to be having the show because his funeral is coming up, and so I need to take some time for that. But he was a veteran. He worked. He was in the Army, and he was over in Germany for a stay. And he's going to be buried at the National Cemetery in Bushnell, Florida here. But he has a double-wide mobile home, and I'm looking to donate it to the Wounded Warriors. So if anybody has any information on Wounded Warriors and how we might be able to, I would like to donate it to that, to a veteran, a wounded warrior, in my father's name, please let me know. Call in if you can. Okay, on that note, let me go to Charlie and see what Charlie is up to and see what his thoughts of the day are. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm tired. I worked in my garage. But also, Sally, you might want to open that door for that mobile home for the Heritage Foundation. Habitat for Humanity. That's right. Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah.
They do a lot of things about putting worthy families who have been hurt in some way into homes of their own. Like a mother of five who went and got her education, high school, college, got a decent job, and she's trying to get her feet up and all this. And they really do a selection process, but they do a lot of good things on renovating things and setting a person up where they have their own place. But now, because it's in a park that is only for senior citizens, the Habitat for Humanity may have some senior citizens that are in need of a place like that. And they can afford the approximately $500, $550 for the lot rent. Because they would be getting a mobile home that's in fairly young age. So it's something you might want to also open the door to.
Most definitely.
The Wounded Warriors. And, you know, you can donate it still in your father's name to these people. Because a lot of them could be veterans who have moved down here for health purposes and they need a place that's reasonable. That's just a thought.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. The whole point is, and of course, obviously, I might say my father was a veteran, so I was kind of thinking of the Wounded Warriors because of that, but that's definitely not the only reason, but I just felt like it would be something that I could contribute, and since it's in a park, and, you know, it's a little bit different than selling it right and stuff like that. So,
you know,
so if I can do something.
And it's in good enough condition, too, where the Wounded Warriors could go in there, fix it up, clean it up, and because your father was of an age, too, where he, you know, wasn't able to do a lot of strenuous work and cleaning and all this type of thing because of his health condition.
Right.
So,
needs a little TLC.
Yep, needs a little TLC, but still, it's in good condition.
Definitely.
But anyway, I heard something on the news today where they were talking about it on the 5, about the jobs that have been made since Obama's been in office, And it said something like in the last 5 months or something like that, there's been about 100 people a day have been hired by the government, by the taxpayers. And it was also stated that they get about $80,000 a year, which is about $30,000 more than the private sector. Now, that means $80,000 a year with all of these people that they've hired for bigger government comes out of the taxpayers' pocket.
Plus the business.
But you know, they all want to give credit to the Obama administration for getting these jobs. It's actually the taxpayers that are paying for all of these jobs. And that brings me on to this other situation, too, where the media, even Charles Krautheimer and others, are saying entitlement. We have to look at Social Security and Medicare entitlements. They are not entitlements. We paid for them. Entitlements are food stamps, the EBT cards, housing for illegal aliens and for people on welfare. Entitlement is for welfare recipients. Those who are in need because of physical challenges, because of car accidents or being a wounded warrior, they are deserving of their entitlements as far as I'm concerned. People who are able to work but don't work because they make more money from their entitlements of, get this, housing, EBT cards, which is for food, and $1,500 a month living expenses. $3,200 a month to live on, where senior citizens are living on less than $1,700 a month. And the senior citizens paid for Social Security, and they paid for their Medicare. They are not entitlements, Charles Krautheimer and other media talk show hosts and the press. No, the entitlements, unfunded entitlements, are by people who have jumped the fence, people who have failed to go get a job because our greedy Congress, who wants the votes, raises the incomes and the entitlements so high that people don't want to go to work, as was mentioned on the talk show, The Five, on Fox News. Why should a woman who was making about $340 a week go try to find a job when the taxpayers pay her $3,200 a month? $3,200 a month versus about $1,500 a month is a big difference. It's twice the money, and she doesn't have to do a damn thing. And that's why she's not getting a job. When you are out of work, you should not be getting as much money as you were when you were working, because you're not going to go look for a job once you get used to that money and once you budget yourself. But entitlements are not Social Security and Medicare. Entitlements are all the freebies. And the entitlements come from Congress, actually, and paid for by the taxpayers. And that's another misnomer. Talk show hosts, the news media, the snooze media, every member of Congress always refers to entitlements as Social Security and Medicare, because they don't want to hurt the feelings of those who are ripping off the taxpayers on welfare. The people who are on welfare are the biggest ripoffs in the world, except for those who are truly in need of it. What we need to do is audit each and every recipient of welfare. Every EBT person should have to go and pick up their EBT allotment every month. That will create jobs. And also the job should be handled by people who are not of the same, how shall we say, nationality as the recipient. If the recipient's from Germany, it should be somebody from England or America. If the person's a Hispanic, it should be somebody from Great Britain, America, Germany, Finland, Hungary, that takes care of them. Should not be the same person from their country, because countrymen seem to like to stick together. But you want something, welfare is out of hand, and it is a way of life now, and it should be brought back. The biggest cut that they should do in welfare is, one, EBTs will now be issued out every month at a location, let's say a motorhome, parked near the residence, because most of the people on welfare live in a, usually rent apartments. Those who have their own home and are on welfare, they can always walk or drive to a location. But the whole thing about it is we're giving our, we the taxpayers, are paying for those who don't want to work. Congress is not giving them their money. Congress is giving the welfare recipients money from the taxpayers who work. If 50% of the people who work went on a tax strike and says, we are no longer going to pay any taxes, welfare recipients would be out in the cold. They would not receive a dime because there would be no money for them to get. And if the government, Congress, and the administration print more money to provide them with the money, they would be creating an inflation that future generations would never get out of. But do you want to do something? Then you demand that all welfare recipients report every month to a location, stand in line to get their allotment, and then we'll see how many of them start looking for work. And then let's cut those allotments in half. Now, that would be a big savings to the taxpayers, because Obama's not paying for that. Congress is not paying for it. Nope. It's that cashier in the grocery store. It's the people working in the movie theaters, in the drug stores, in the selling cars. It's the people working at Disney World, Disneyland, Universal Studios. It's the secretaries, the clerk typists. It's the police officers, the firemen, the doctors, the nurses. So everybody else who's got a job is paying for the lazy ones who are on welfare because they don't want to work because they make more money on welfare. Well, you reverse the welfare and you make it not worth it being on welfare, and people will get off their butt and they'll go get a job. Because I know that back in 1957, I was one day away from getting unemployment because of a strike for the company I was working for. They called me back to work. I never did get that money back because it was cut off. It was automatic, no money at all. For 2 weeks, I didn't have one bit of income. But I survived. I survived because I am an American. And I didn't really want to get any money from my fellow taxpayers. But it was entitled to it. I was entitled to it. But because I went back to work, that entitlement went out the door 24 hours before I was due to get it. The very next day, I was to report to the unemployment office to pick up my check. But because I went to work, I couldn't go there to pick up my check. So it was canceled. So you see, the biggest problem we have with spending We're spending too much money on that bill that was passed by the Democrats to win more voters called welfare. People who are in America who are not even citizens are getting more money than senior citizens born and raised and who worked in America all their life and who served their country by going into service. And they found a way to make more money on welfare than by getting a job. And our elected officials don't know how to correct the problem. All it is they have to do is say, welfare is now going to be cut 50%. Housing, 50%. Education, 75% for all illegal aliens. They actually cut it out. If you're here illegally, you don't deserve a dime from the American taxpayers because you cheated to get into the United States, you're cheating to stay in the United States. But if somebody wanted to adopt an illegal alien, then let them do it and let them put them on their payroll every day. There's enough rich people in this country who can do it. And then all the illegal aliens can then work for those people and eventually earn their citizenship by being at the end of the line. Welfare is an entitlement. Social Security and Medicare is paid for by those who receive it. Therefore, all of you news commentators, all of you elected officials, remember one thing. Social Security has been ripped off by Congress. That is why there is a debt, because Congress never returned the money. Had Congress returned the money they borrowed from Social Security, it would be a funded obligation to the citizens who paid for it. In other words, you scammed us, you ripped us off, you are grand thefts. You are all in violation of the Constitution of the United States because you took our money without our permission and you spent it and you have not returned it. And now you're trying to call it an entitlement. You are guilty of a felony. Each and every past and present member of Congress, both houses, and the administrations. And since you're getting $174,000 a year, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't go down to $10,000 a year and pay back the $164,000 to the Social Security Fund. Maybe in 10 years we'll get it back up. No, we'll go all the way back and take all of your riches. If you're a multimillionaire, we'll put that in the Social Security Fund because all of you in Congress deserve to be broke. Okay, Sally, I'm done. I ranted long enough.
And so much of it is so true. I mean, total agreement. They need to go back to calling welfare, and distinguish what the difference between welfare is versus entitlements and all this mushy talk about trying to make things sound nice because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Well, it's not a matter of hurting people's feelings anymore. It's to be a welfare recipient, used to be, somewhat negative. It was that you needed a handout. You couldn't take care of yourself, and it was a negative in that sense. You weren't supposed to be proud of being on welfare. But now they call this entitlement stuff, and the games they play with what they call everything. Now the whole game is how can I get the free money and not do anything for it? That's what the total decline of this culture has been. How much money can I get free of charge? And look at who's doing it. The same ones who are getting paid mega bucks and mega benefits and no social security that they have to pay. They get health care. They get pension plans. The same self-serving people public servants, who have, loaded up their own plate. Well, they're not, obviously, say, wait a minute, I can get all this. Yeah, we'll just keep stiffing the working class out there. And we'll just keep doing that. Well, we're going broke doing that. There's not enough money. And, you know, you, what you said about that, they robbed the Social Security Trust Fund. Never trust a trust fund. These people were supposed to put money into it, and if they would have left it in there the way it was supposed to, instead of borrowing money, stealing from it, Social Security would be in good shape. When it comes to the other pieces, and this is true with Social Security and with Medicare and this stuff, Social Security, the part that becomes a challenge, which I don't know that it should be considered Social Security, when a person who never paid into it does receive benefits out of it. And that does happen in a legitimate way, in the sense that the one of the parents have died, and there's money for the children to help raise the children out of the Social Security. So they get that, even though they've never technically worked, but their parents at some point did. Or however you take care of these children when something has happened to the parents. The other is when there's a disability. Somebody is born with a disability or becomes disabled, and then there's a support system for them that they never truly put into as much. And it's most time it's called Social Security, SSI, Social Security Disability Income, whatever it is, types of things. So there's that piece of it. And then we, as a society, a caring society, we believe in helping those who truly need help. But, you know, we've gotten to the point where we're a society that steals from one to pay for the other. It's like, you know, that's what's so disgusting. And, you know, it comes to unemployment. If the government would let me take my own money and wouldn't keep taking money from me, I could put money into my own savings account with them not penalizing me for actually saving money. And then if I was unemployed, I'd have my own emergency fund to do. But they don't do that. They don't give you the right. Or if, you know, you put money into a savings account and you earn any kind of interest on it, $5 or whatever, they're going to come after you for it. So they do everything they can to demotivate, remove any incentive for people to do anything on their own. And so you have these creatures out there that say, well, you know, why should I work when I can just sit back and take money from the government? And there was something you were saying about Americans or different nationalities of servicing the other ones. No, I would kind of disagree, because I happen to believe you should be an American. If you're getting some kind of supplemental service like this, you should be an American, and you should be being served by an American. I want to, personally, we've got to get away from all these factions. Either be an American or get lost, is my take. But when it comes to whether the individual, and true to your point, well, are Hispanics more friendly and assisting to other Hispanics? Are the blacks more tending to lean more and help other blacks more when they're there versus helping the whites and whatever, that kind of stuff? How much of that kind of stuff happens when you go to a public service office, public agency of any sort? But the point is, if you're an American, if you're working there, you should be an American. If you're not American, you shouldn't be employed as an American public servant. And if you're getting help, you should be an American. Maybe there's some.
I agree with you. The biggest thing we have to make sure, though, is we need to audit those who are coming up to the counter and could be getting service from someone of their same nationality and getting by with a much easier and more lenient, regimen in regards to getting benefits from the taxpayers.
Yeah, they turn the blind eye, look the other way.
That's right. In other words, oh, yeah, okay, I know what I can do. Here, I can help you. You've been here 2 days. Okay, I'm going to make it. You've been here 2 years and all this type of thing. There's all kinds of things that a person that is dishonest could do at the counter for a mere tip. Somebody could walk up to and say, you go see so-and-so and just make sure she sees a $50 bill sticking out of your billfold, and she'll get you all the paperwork you need. In other words, graft and corruption could be on the lower end of it too, because we do have trickle-down corruption all the way from the president, past and present, all the way down, right to the very people who take care of driver's licenses and different types of things. And unfortunately, it generally leans because I heard this from somebody when I had Puerto Rican tenants. A Puerto Rican will take care of a Puerto Rican, even if they're in the wrong. They will not rat think on them. They will, because they are considered brothers and sisters. And we do the same, too, for other Hispanics. And this was from a Puerto Rican on the island of St. Croix, and I will never forget it. And that's why I am suspect of people taking care of their own nationality in regards to entitlements in the United States of America. And I mean, that can happen as far as somebody from Germany, somebody from England, or any of the other countries. They could wind up being receiving entitlements that they are not entitled to merely because they are of the same nationality. And that is what I call say we need to audit those times and make sure that everything is recorded so that we know that somebody is not cheating for the good of a fellow man. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
I agree.
Sure
I agree with you. They should be Americans working on Americans. And if they are not citizens of the United States, they should not be in a position to deal with the taxpayers' money or the obligations of the taxpayers, such as driver's licenses or any of that, if they are not citizens of the United States. I mean, if they are on a path to citizenship and they are really patriotic in that, there's a test that they can take for it. It's called the Constitution of the United States. And, and then I believe that they should be in a right position. But are they? We don't know. And the reason we don't know is because I heard that there was a town on the Texas-Mexico border, 700 population, 10,700 post office boxes. 10,000 people walked across the border to get their Social Security checks because of disabilities. They jumped the fence, never became a citizen, but got injured on the job. And because of the computer system, they were given a monthly check by the United States government for the injury. And so they had a post office box in the United States, and then they walked back home to Mexico as a rich person every 30 days. Isn't that a nice way to run a great country like this?
Yeah, and you said it was the United States government, but you know it's us. So we the people who actually work, who are paying that. And
That's right. Kind
of stuff, they can see how many the technology, the systems, it would very easily be seen as the corruption it is if you didn't have people who in public office who are buying votes. And that all goes back to what the scum that we have in office today, the hypocrites, the evildoers that are in public office, who will do anything, who will give away and surrender this country as long as they think it's going to get them a vote. And, I mean, we had you can go all the way up to Detroit, Michigan, and that one councilwoman who was out there rambling, we helped get you elected, now give us the bacon. Well, she
had that's
bribery. It's illegal.
That is bribe. She just actually bribed the President of the United States, or threatened the President of the United States. And the whole thing about it is a bribe. And will our judicial department, the separation of powers, the legislative, the executive, and then the judicial power is there to make sure that everything is done according to the Constitution? It looks like all three organizations are in collusion with each other to overthrow the sovereign government of America, thus committing the biggest treason action in the world. That's what it's beginning to look like. Because if the judicial department does not start holding the elected officials to the grindstone to make sure that they do the right thing, then they can be held in collusion with the legislative and the executive. And that means that's when we the people will have to get up and do what is right. And it's getting to that point. As I am now watching on Lou Dobbs, the people in Israel throwing rocks at the police. Thank God in America we have guns and the right to bear them. All right, back to you.
Well, and again, you're saying it's there's so much truth to what you're saying there. The state of this government, the state of this country, and the fact is, this government is corrupt, you know, and it's up to the people to do something about it and not to surrender their guns, which of course is what everybody's trying, including pro sports Bob Costas out there trying to say people don't have a right to own guns. But that's the whole reason why we have the right to bear arms. It's to protect ourselves against the tyranny of the government. And we're at that point now. And that's what I want to talk about, what the Tea Party is going to do. You know, the Tea Party got off to a roaring start and everything was out there, you know, a true movement. It didn't matter what party you belonged to. It was whether you were fed up with a government that was out of control. And, you know, Democrats should be totally outraged, too, because Democrats supposedly believe in liberty, believe in freedom. And yet they don't seem to care that their rights keep being taken away by the government, too, by doesn't matter what party. You know,
right.
Everybody's in public office. All you got to do is look at Bonehead Boehner and the crap that they're doing on that side. It's all one party. It's all manipulation and head games to the voters. What's that?
I'm wondering how Typhoon Lou feels and the people from the West Side Tea Party, the East Side Tea Party, because both of those seem to be very much on the side of the Republican Party. You know, the never give up party faithful. Oh, the Republican Party's going to bound back. Sure. It's going to bound back with somebody different in there, another Rubio coming up or somebody like that, and they're going to be doing the same thing that everybody has done in the past, just like Webster isn't doing anything except collecting his $174,000. And they're all going to continue to do that. And these Republican faithfuls and all, are they going to keep voting for the Republican as long as it's got an R there? Because how is it that Einstein said something like, is really stupid when people keep voting for the same thing in hopes of making change?
Yeah,
because
definition of insanity,
that,
doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Right, yeah, right. And that's what they're doing, because when they vote Republican, the Republicans operating everything, telling the people who to vote for. Democrats are doing the same thing. You vote for this guy because this is the one we chose. Who chooses it? The executive committees of the parties. Those who go to the meetings. Yeah, they're the ones that get up there. And that's how they get in there. They're started right from a young age. Okay, well, you want to be this. Well, good. You become a party member and all that. We'll get you there. And the next thing you know, they start working up their way into it because they can talk good. Like Rubio is a wonderful speaker. Obama, a wonderful speaker. Doesn't know a damn thing about organizing anything except the community, but he can't run the country because he has no idea about how to even sell Amway products from his front door. And Amway's a damn good product. But what did he sell? Did you ever hear of him selling anything? Uh-uh. But it's the Republican and Democrat parties that are telling the people who to vote for, why they're so good, and then the people never get a chance to find out about the other candidates who could make a darn good senator or congressman because the media is controlled by the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. A total and illegal monopoly of the Democrat Party and by the Republican Party, working together and working separately to deny people their rights. And until the people wake up, until the people wake up, this country is going to go further into hell. Because right now I believe the basket is almost burned up. Hell in the hand basket? Yep, the basket caught fire, and I believe it's darn near burned up. And it's caused by the separation of the people by the two parties, as predicted by President George Washington in his farewell speech to the nation. The parties will divide the country. You have a divided country. And you now have a country that has returned to its racist ways, which is unfortunate, but the karma will come around again. And it's all caused by the present administration, and especially by Eric Holder. He is the number one proponent for racial divide, because he failed to take judicial action against the Black Panthers and others. And he lies to the people. We now have a lying administration and a lying legislation. And it's all proven by the Benghazi situation. Nixon lied about knowing about the Watergate break-in. Susan Rice lied about, on five different channels on a Sunday, about the attacks in Benghazi. And nothing's been done to her. And who told her to lie? President Obama lied 12 days later that it was caused by the video. And he was there, so he lied to the people. And Boehner hasn't done anything, and either has Harry Reid. They are not dictators. They are representatives of the people. They were put in charge to operate the people's business, and they are not doing it. Therefore, they're in violation of their fiduciary duty to the people, to the United States of America, the people of the United States, not just their district. This has to be brought to the attention of people, because if not, then that means Webster, Micah, and all of the congressmen in the state of Florida are just as guilty as Boehner and Reid in failing to go after and file charges of lying against the administration and all of those involved with Benghazi, etc. All right, back to you.
Yep, and it's you were talking about Benghazi. Well, no one's talking about Hillary either, and yet here Hillary was all part of that. And you think even from a Democratic standpoint, even if you're the party loyalist on the other side, how can you support the fact that she let Americans get killed? So I mean, I don't see how you can support, because she was a key player in that. Yet they're already to elect her for the next president. They're already talking about her being the next president. And it's like, well, people aren't going to, are they going to be electing her? Or are they going to be electing Bill again? I mean, the whole thing is just so disgusting. And the truth is, we have to have term limits. And you know,
That's the part about it now. People are letting it slide down because Boehner and everybody, look at, what's his name? Issa, or Senator Issa and Grassley.
Right.
What are they saying about it? What are they doing for the good of the American people except having hearings? When are they going to take the action? When are they going to file a complaint in court to bring impeachment charges against the President of the United States and all of his cabinet and all of his czars and also the legislature? Who has anything to do with it? And no, Eric Holder. Everybody who lied. Susan Rice. Hillary Clinton. Every one of them should be brought up on charges of lying to the people, because they lied to the people. It was a terrorist attack on our embassy. It was not caused by the video. But they lied about it. That is 10 times worse, 10,000 times worse than Watergate. Watergate was a break-in to find out what the Democrats' plan was for their campaign. Benghazi cost tax, cost 4 lives, American lives. And it was an attack on American property, a warlike situation. And the whole administration sat on their fat butts and did nothing. And they are dragging their feet on it. Charges should be brought up against them on impeachment charges. And if they don't do the impeachment charges, then maybe we, the people, will have to start taking, going after everybody in a court of law and doing something. Or maybe we need to go there and march on Washington in a peaceful manner and say, yes, we are going to remove you physically from your office and put somebody in there who will do the job. They did it in Athens, Tennessee, with the Battle of Athens regarding the ballot box. I don't see why we can't do it here, but do it in a peaceful manner. But I'll tell you what, this face-to-face with Boehner and Obama, it should be right in front of, all of it should be discussed in front of the people so we know actually what's going on. But they are keeping us hidden. For 4 years, we have had the most hidden administration there is. And now we're going to get another 4 years of it, but this time it's going to be the legislature too. I guess the people of America will never know what hit them if they don't wake up. But I'm going to predict they are not going to be happy. All of those children and everything else are going to say and look at their grandparents, especially those who served in the military, and say, how come you didn't do anything? You served this great country, you fought the wars, but then you didn't have the guts to even go after anybody here in Washington when they lied and they cheated. I am a veteran, and I am proud of what I am doing. And when I look around and I see other veterans just sitting there having their drinks at the American Legion Post, and doing nothing, I just shake my head inside and say, I just cannot believe the lack of concern that these veterans have. But you know, a lot of them know that war is hell. A lot of them think that they can't do anything. And there's a lot of them that I have no idea why they are not interested. Because apparently they seem to think that, oh, we elected them, they have all the pull on everything. No. We elected them to represent us. And when they don't represent us, it is our duty to throw them off and find a new government. That's what's in the Constitution. That's what's in the Declaration of Independence. Our founding documents to protect we the people from tyrants in the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of government. And the reason I'm saying judicial, because we may have to go after them too, especially with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on the West Coast. Back to you, Sally.
Yep, and I'll tell you, the whole thing, and this kind of goes back to this Tea Party movement. Here we started a Tea Party movement, a peaceful revolution to get government under control, and then all these, way too many, I'll say 90% of the Tea Partiers were converted over into GOP sheeples and just continued to support the status quo. Now, the same people who are all frustrated with this, what are they doing today? Are they still going to support the status quo? Are they not? I'm really curious to see what's going to happen. Because, I mean, in my own sense, to me, the GOP, I just say that the GOP has defeated the Tea Party. Here, the Tea Party Act was the one that actually saved the GOP in many respects and got so many GOPers in the House of Representatives. But it's been the GOP that played the Tea Parties to the max and shut them down and told them to stop it. And it's like, you know what, the same people who were in that Tea Party movement, if you truly believe limited government and this government's out of control, then you've got to sign away your loyalty to a stupid political party that's corrupting us and unite together as one so that we can take back this country. We can have another massive march on D.C., and this is when we say, guess what, Boehner, you're going home. Here's your pink slip. We don't care what the election was because you corrupted the election. You're a traitor. Your actions are treasonous. You're violating everything you said you were supposed to do, and you're getting rich off of us. You expect us to pay for your corruption? No. And it goes down the list. It's with the majority of those in public office today. And we force them out of office. But if Americans are too weak, the Tea Party has been defeated. The GOP successfully defeated and shut down the Tea Party. It wasn't the Democrats that did it. It was the Republicans that took control of the Tea Party and shut it down. And I was like, Tea Partiers, are you going to put up with that? Or are you going to revolt against the GOP and Bonehead for what they've done? Or are you just going to sit there and roll over and die? And unfortunately, I feel like the Tea Party is going to roll over and die. I think they've already been defeated by the same ones. They were defeated by who they thought were their friends, you know, their allies. They kept insisting the GOP was their ally in the Tea Party movement. And, of course, many of us, you and me for two, kept saying, no, people, would just stay away from the corruption of the political parties. Do you not know this is going to be the same thing? And that's exactly what's going on. I mean, it's just unbelievable what these people are doing in office today. They're despicable. And if the American people don't stand together, and whether it, you know, Chris Ann Hall has been out there really pushing to the states to reject the exchanges, the insurance exchanges, and little by little that movement seems to be getting out there. And that type of thing, and that's one way to shut down Obamacare. But the other fact is for the states to secede out of the nation, to just, you know, the true United States are going to be over here. You people in the Northeast, especially in California, you know, you want to go fall off the cliff, go fall off the cliff on your own, because you're the ones who kept digging the cliff anyway. You're the ones, Bloomberg telling you how many ounces of Coke you can drink a day, soft drinks. I mean, come on. That's not what America is. But if you want to be a socialist like that, you want Bloomberg to be your king too, then go be a part of some other nation. And we'll have to recreate the United States of America by those who truly believe in the Constitution and truly believe in freedom, because we don't have it today. We don't have it today because of two very corrupt parties and for a people who are too weak and have no courage to do anything. I mean, when you think of it, Boehner, he's very much a reflection of what the American people have become. I mean, there's the group of us, and hopefully we have the critical mass we need, as we've talked about with the People Congress. But when you think of what Boehner is, the coward of Boehner, the lack of any principles of Boehner, he's going to get rid of the people who actually stand for the principles of conservative values, which is what his party is supposed to be, because he doesn't want to get any pushback from them. So he trashes them out of their chairmanships or their committees. How despicable, and what a coward the guy is. And yet these Tea Partiers are going to go out there and support him again? I mean, I've done everything I can. I have definitely contacted Boehner's office. I've faxed him. I've emailed him. I've told him he's a coward and he's a traitor. His actions are treasonous. I've done what I can to voice my opinion to that guy. The people in Ohio, which Charlie, what's going on with the people in Ohio? You're from Ohio. Are they all nuts up there or what? They're the ones who put him back in there too. But I mean, it's just totally nuts, and it's more nuts if the Tea Party movement, the Tea Parties do not take action and revolt or unite to succeed out of the nation, of the union, and recreate the United States of America with the Constitution again. Any thoughts about Ohio? Okay.
Ohio is a liberal state.
Definitely. I think that, again, that's somewhat telling. They're a liberal state, but they elected a Republican by the name of Bonehead.
Yeah, probably. I do not use that type of terminology on anybody.
I do. I think he is. I think he's a traitor. So, traitor, Bonehead, and Bane, or whatever. You can call him whatever you want to. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. But it's just that they are basically a liberal state, but apparently in his district, he's got the Republican area, and it's probably all caused by gerrymandering. And that's why he's got an area that is strictly Republican, and they're going to vote him in every time. That's what they've been doing. That's another thing about the two illegal monopolies. They gerrymander everything to suit themselves and keep all the third and fourth parties out of there. You have corruption, trickle-down corruption. Remember Reagan, when he came in, we had trickle-down economics? Well, now we got trickle-down corruption. And it's all the way to the bottom. And let me tell you, the people let it happen, the people are going to suffer. They're going to suffer more and more. And then that person that wanted to get a nice boat that cost $42,000 may never be able to see it. Because the people won't be, he won't be able to afford it. Because he's going to be considered to be needing to spend money in there so that all of our elected officials can go on their vacations like the union bosses do. Because that's where the money's going. The money's going in to take care of those who work for the government. Before, it used to be the lowest paying jobs in the world. Now, because they were able to unionize because of the idiots in Congress, the unions came in, they unionized, and all the unions care about is their dues. But now they got all those people nice wages, $80,000 a year to work for the government, $30,000 more than the private sector with all those benefits, all paid for by the private sector employees. Isn't that something? Private sector employees pay for everything in our government on a federal, state, and local basis. And people don't care. Back to you.
Yep. And, you know, I remember in the day when working for the government, the idea was it was job security, not a lot of money. You actually expected to earn a little bit less than the private sector. The private sector was supposed to be more rewarding financially because you took a bigger risk. But it was when you, by going into government, you're supposed to get a lower salary, but you were supposed to just about couldn't be fired, and you were going to get health care and stuff like that. So you had other benefits, but your salary was supposed to be a lot less, and it was supposed to, the private sector was always supposed to pay more. You should never, the public sector, government jobs, was never supposed to be where you go to get rich. It's like, how do you expect all the private sector, you know, the people that are making $50,000 to support all these $80,000 for—they're overpaid. They're totally overpaid for the job that they're doing in the clerical and things like that. And of course, I don't care what anybody says. $174,000 is way overpaying these public servants who are in public office today. We need to get some public servants out there that would actually take a vow of poverty to go into office instead of going there to get rich off the people. I mean, we're killing ourselves. The American people are sitting on the sidelines, destroying their own country, letting these other evildoers destroy it, letting the corruption destroy it, and we're not going to last. And, you know, Obama's going to be the one who's going to take it down. But, you know, Obama's definitely the one who's putting the last nail in the coffin, but he's definitely not the one who created the coffin.
The Democrats and Republican Party, and with Obama and Bush that started this, and also Clinton and everybody else, all the way back to the other Bush, has started this. And the thing about it is the citizens have to pay for all of this government stuff, and Congress is not worth more than $6,000 a month. That's Senate and Congress. They are not worth more than $6,000 a month, which is $72,000 a year. They are being paid $102,000 more per year than they are worth. And I mean that is based on a full-time schedule where they work 240 days out of the year. They only work 108 days out of the year, and they are getting paid roughly $17,000 or $13,000 a month to do nothing.
Well, And you really have to go and add all their staff, too. I haven't got anything in front of me right here, but you could take any representative or senator or whoever, go through, see how many offices they have, their D.C. office, and they usually have 5 or 6 offices throughout their state. Then they got people working all these offices. They got people working in the other offices. And then, of course, you have Webster, who goes out and spends $150,000 for decorations, to which, personally, you know what? You can use the same desk in those offices for 20 years like the rest of us have to. You don't go and give $150,000 to one. If he was spending his own money to redecorate his office, that's all fine and dandy, but not with taxpayers paying for it. So, but I mean, when you think about one representative, you go out there and look at it, whether they be, and then if they're on any kind of chairmanship, then there's another office and there's all the other committee stuff that they got. But you take any representative or senator and see how many offices they have. See how much money we are paying for that one representative, which is, in reality, when you take all the time they spend campaigning, everything else, they don't do any work. I mean, they have a part-time job. So they're getting paid $174,000 for a part-time job, plus they superficially create all these other jobs by having all these stupid offices that nobody's ever there to answer the phone half the time anyway. They don't need all these crazy offices. If they were doing their job, they'd have more town hall meetings scattered throughout their district and actually be talking to people. But it's absolutely crazy what it costs. And, I mean, I really need to go and do some study. And if anybody out there has any numbers on this, go out there and take for a representative the 2 years that a representative is in office, take the average cost for their salary plus all their offices plus all their administrative assistants, blah, 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 and see how much we pay to employ that one representative. Because it's a lot more. It's probably more like $500,000 a year when you come down to everything we're spending. And there, they truly only work part-time. I'm sorry, when they're out there on the campaign trail, that's not work. And they spend over half their time campaigning. They spend very little time doing the people's work and sitting there studying what the bills are, reading what the bills are, learning what's going on, and being able to make an informed decision of what the people would want. So you think about it, 174 we know they got. You add all this other garbage they have, add their pensions into it. It's enormous, the money we're paying for these people. That by itself, I think, could take care of the deficit. Get these people to have to work like the rest of us do, take a true salary, and have to put in 40-plus hours a week, and then get some benefits. And then, you know what? If you're not there for 10 years, you don't get a pension. And by the way, you're going to have term limits, so you're not going to be there 10 years. It's absolutely a ripoff. Total ripoff for the people. And, you know, I understand if you're not inclined to call Boehner a bonehead, but that's what I think he is. I think he's a hypocrite. There's plenty of people call him crybaby because of the way he was crying all the time and that kind of stuff. But he isn't doing the job. He's a traitor. But so are the two parties. The two parties are all the same. When will Americans admit and be honest and say the two parties are the same? And if Americans do not come together as Americans, it is all over. That is the only way we're going to save this country as the United States of America. And I really do want to know, the Tea Partiers out there listening, excuse me, Tea Partiers, I want to know what you're going to do. Are we going to say that the GOP defeated the Tea Party movement, because that's the way it stands today? The Democrats were no part, you know, there were truly some Democrats within the Tea Party movement. There were many, many independents in the Tea Party movement, and then you had Republicans. So the whole point of the Tea Party movement was to be about people, a movement of nonpartisans who care more about the Constitution than about a political party. But too many of the Tea Partiers caved in. They gave in to whoever the GOP, and the GOP literally shut down the Tea Party. And that's what they wanted to do. But you know, all the times I would talk to people, they would talk to me like I was crazy. It's like, no, it's not the Tea Party. It's not the GOP. We got to fit. The GOP is the right, blah, blah, blah. They're all the same. Do you not see it now? Anybody out there who's a Republican who still thinks the Republican Party is different than the Democrats, you're nuts. You're an idiot. Well, nothing personal. Don't want to be. Don't try. Not trying to be cruel, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna worry about being politically correct. You've got to be nuts if you think the Republican Party is any different than the Democrat Party. They are the same. Why do you think Bonehead Boehner is doing what he's doing? He's getting rid of the conservatives. He's getting rid of the Tea Partiers. So Tea Partiers, what are you going to do against Boehner? Are you going to sit there and let him pull this crap and let the GOP do this to you? Is that what you are? Because if you are, then it's all over. It's all over. The Tea Party is dead. The GOP is what defeated the Tea Party, not the Democrats. And Harry Reid can be out there laughing his head off saying, yep, the GOP couldn't even control their own Tea Party movement. The GOP destroyed its own Tea Party movement, which to me, again, I was a Tea Partier, and I still am in the core of what the Tea Party movement is about, but I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I am a George Washington no-party affiliate. And I want to know, Tea Partiers, do you have the guts, do you have the courage to revolt against what the liberal, progressive, hypocritical Republicans just did to you? They're rejecting the Constitution. They're rejecting limited government. They're rejecting lower taxes. Tea Partiers, what are you going to do? Are you going to rally behind them and do it again in 2 years? Because if you are, you're just downright stupid. That insanity, you know, yes. It's insane to keep promoting the same garbage. So you better take a different approach. You better be ready to go and march on Washington, march on your state capitals, and force these people out of office. Say, no, you're going to resign. You refuse to do your job. You refuse to honor the Constitution. And Mr. Gates up there in Tallahassee, you need to go. You're going to shoot and hang anybody who disagrees with Obamacare? This is also a conservative slash Republican in Florida. Doesn't that make you feel good, Tea Partiers? This is the kind of maniac we've got up there in Tallahassee? We've got to get these people out of office. We have got to reclaim this government. It is our government. That's the way it is. And if you want to be a socialist, you want to be one world order, you want the United Nations to be the government, the new world government, that's where we're heading. And I can't remember who it was, but there's some Republican up there in D.C. now that's out there promoting one world government, promoting the destruction, the abolishment of the sovereignty of the United States of America. These are the people in public office today. Why do you keep putting them in there? Do you hate America? If you don't believe in the United States of America and don't believe in the Constitution, go someplace else. I would be more than happy to start some kind of a fund to get you a one-way ticket to go wherever it is you want to go. Because that's not the American way. And I'm here to fight for the American way. I'm here to fight for the Constitution. I am here as an American and nothing but an American. And for every one of the, every time you hear these political whatevers on TV, analysts as they try to claim there are whatever, and they talk about the Hispanic, this and that, would you send them an email, call them, fax them, do whatever you can, and say, would you be an American for a change? Would you unite us as Americans? Of course, isn't that what King Obama said he was going to do? Unite people? Well, King Obama has done everything to divide, and of course the Republicans are helping him. Where are the Republicans? Republicans, are you this stupid? If you would truly unite people as one, if you actually believe in the Constitution, but you don't, so what are you going to do? Tea Partiers, what are you going to do? I'm going to be getting involved with We the People Congress. I'm going to attempt to be a county coordinator. If my schedule allows, I'll have to do all this after the first of the year. Can't do it right now for a variety of reasons. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be part of the critical mass. We the People Congress, that is a group that's being formed, that is formed, and they're asking for people who want to be part of the critical mass to take back this country. And it has nothing to do with violence. But you know what? You better keep that gun handy because you better be willing to defend yourself against the tyrants of this government. It's not us going after the government. It's the government coming after us. The government trying to take its own army, its own military against the people. And that is exactly what Obama's doing. Obama, King Obama, is out there wanting to have full control of the debt ceiling. He wants the Congress to hand over all their responsibility to him. And if they do, they are guilty of treason. Do these people not understand this? What is with these people who are in public office today? Do you not have a clue about the Constitution? Well, I see we have, I believe this is Nathan who wants to chime in here. Nathan, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. I was sitting here listening to you asking about the Tea Party. And I'll tell you what I did today. I got one of them emails from John Stemberger, okay, with a list of stuff on this, what the local leaders are doing and trying to push through to gay marriage, and we need to give this list of politicians that we need to call and give our opinion. And I called and I talked to the lady in his office, and I said, listen, I am tired. I've spent hundreds of hours, literally hundreds of hours, emailing people, calling, talking to people, okay, and you guys keep trying to keep the Republican Party in office. You got Mitt Romney up there that had gay marriage, I'm debating the issue. I'm debating the consistency of the candidates and the politicians. But they got Mitt Romney trying to tell us he's for traditional marriage, one man, one woman, and yet you can go to the Massachusetts government site and read through his orders by executive orders to establish gay marriage. He is the first person in this country that gave a state gay marriage. He's sitting there talking about Obama and abortion and Democrats and abortion. Okay, this Republican Party is the author of abortion. It was Republican presidents that gave us the Republican judges that gave us Roe v. Wade. Not one Democrat politician or judge was a part of establishing abortion at a federal level. Not one, okay? But we keep hearing that the Democrats, the party of abortion, and it was Mitt Romney that had abortion. He signed a contract with Planned Parenthood, and he owned Stericycle, the medical company that disposed of the aborted babies' remains, okay? And I told his aide, you're sitting here trying to get the people to save the Republican Party, but you close your eyes and your ears to the fact that they're fighting you on everything you're trying to get accomplished. It's like tying a brick to me and telling me I'm to swim across the river. I can't do it, and I will not make any phone calls until you guys repent from your hypocrisy. It's that simple, okay? And that's what I did. The Tea Party rose up. It was people rising up to save their country, not save the Republican Party. There is very few Republican politicians up there that do not have a socialist record. And I dare anybody to show me. Somebody told me a couple of days ago, well, Jim DeMint's a good man. I said, well, why did Jim DeMint, was he for Agenda 21, but in this last election, him and Phyllis Schlafly decided we need to get out of Agenda 21. Okay, but now there's silence after it, and then he's going to work for the Heritage Foundation that gave us gave Newt the contract with America. They gave him NAFTA that did more. NAFTA did more in just one act of moving us into socialism than the Democrats have done in generations. Listen, this is what we need to remember. There is no parties in the Constitution. It's only members. It's individuals. There's no electoral college in the Constitution. It is electors, members. That's all they are. Each man got his own vote. There is no electoral college that, see, the Republican Party and the Democrat Party is not political parties. They are a permanent part of the government. They are government agencies. That's not the way it was meant to be. And this is the question I just asked a couple of people that teach the Constitution. Explain to me how the Constitution, the Electoral College works for only the two major parties, but all these other parties, they don't have they get no benefit from the Electoral College. They get the independent voters get nothing from no service from the Electoral College. What I got to say is, if we don't learn what the Constitution says, we're doing nothing but promoting socialism, because that's what the two-party system is. It's just a numbers game. We're sitting here trying, give us more numbers so we can beat the Democrats. Give us more numbers so we can beat the Republicans. But there's no difference between the two. If you believe in abortion, they will tell you, and you know this, there's a place for you in the Democrat Party. But if you don't believe in abortion, they make you think that there's a place for you in the Republican Party. But they're both for it. They're just managing it.
But, exactly. Yeah.
And listen, and this is the thing we got to remember. When you hear people say we've got the best country in the world, you know, it's not perfect. But you know what? The problem is we're in this problem because we've been comparing ourselves to other countries and not to the Constitution. There's a verse for all the Bible thumpers in 2 Corinthians 10:12. It says, those who compare themselves with themselves or commend themselves by themselves is without understanding. In other words, if you're sitting around comparing you to somebody else, then you're a fool. We don't need to be comparing ourselves to other countries. We've done that, and guess what? We've dropped down a few notches. We got the wrong standard, you know? And that's all I got to say. I got a good site for y'all to go. If you would, put it in your website and your chat room. It's called www.boston-tea-party.org. Y'all can learn a little bit about the Boston Tea Party. You can look at who the participants were. And guess what? It wasn't about saving a party. It wasn't about saving Sarah Palin, her job, and making her rich. It wasn't about saving Marco Rubio because he says he's, or Jim DeMint, or Newt Gingrich, or any of these fools. It's about saving the country, and the Constitution is the standard for doing it. There is no socialism. These are just people. None of them were like each other. Poor and rich, they were out there throwing stuff off the boat because they wanted their country and they didn't want government deciding the way life's supposed to be for them.
Exactly. What's that website again?
Boston. It says Boston, like a dash on a telephone. Boston-T-Party.org. And you can go look at the participants, and it's a really good site. And it'll help you. It'll help people realize that these Tea Party, national Tea Party groups, is Republican. Okay, they need to quit that, because every one of these national Tea Party groups, they all have one thing in common. They were founded by political consultants that are lifelong Republicans. They got professional media, professional politicians, and professional entertainment. It's all, nothing wrong with professional at anything, but these are all professional. They're not, it's not something the people, matter of fact, if the people, the Tea Party in 2009 was what the country looked like in the beginning. Everything was on a local level. It was, everything happened on a local level. It just happened that it was the condition of the minds and hearts of everybody across the country. Okay, but see, they got to go national. You got to go national. This is why they tell you the lie, that if you're going to run for office, all politics are local. No, that's trash. Okay, because the stronghold's at the top. If you want to run for county commissioner, You're not moving up unless your party at the top endorses you. If you're not, they're not going to come down and stand on the stage with you, put money into your campaign. They're going to ignore you the way they do, the way they did all these citizen hundreds, in the thousands, hundreds in Florida, but thousands of citizen candidates ran in 2010, and none of them across this country, except for about a handful of people, probably five or six, got elected. And Alan West was one of them, and it took him two terms to do that. Okay, and he was popular.
Yeah, and then he didn't get reelected.
Well, yeah, but you see, the reason everybody's saying it's causing fraud, and I don't doubt that. But something that a lot of people are forgetting, I would follow Colonel West into battle and trust him with my life. Okay, but you know what? Battle's a lot more easier. Battlefield is a lot more easier than Congress because. You know, you can do what you got to do on the battlefield, but when you're in Congress, you're living with and reasoning against evil people. And that's why he became one of them to some degree. He lost part of his honor whenever he signed away people's rights in the NDAA. And he also got caught by one guy in a meeting. Somebody asked him a question about an issue he didn't know, and he got busted because he found out he signed a bill without having read it or anybody on his staff reading it, and he just signed it because it was time to sign it. So he did what he went up there to stop, and that is signing bills without reading them, you know. So, and I'm not trashing the colonel. I'm just saying, you know, when you live with pigs, you end up becoming and behaving like a pig. And that's what he did. He went up there with the other with career politicians, and he figured out the game. Again, we got to get back. We got to get away from playing. You see, this is why Obama's is uniting everybody. The Republicans, they decide we got to figure out how to beat the Democrats. So what is the Democrats doing? They're reading stuff like Saul Alinsky and the Communist Manifesto, and Sun Tzu's Art of War, and they're trying to figure out how to reason. Like the enemy, and so what they do, they end up reasoning. But guess what? When you're both using the same reasoning, you end up becoming the same. Okay? But if you use the Constitution as the guideline, instead of trying to outsmart somebody else and outreason them, this is what happened with the Republican Party during the Great Depression. They decided we got to beat them. We got to beat the Democrats, so we got to think like they do. You know what? If you want to catch a bear, you don't think like a bear. You think like a hunter.
Right.
Yeah, you think you live at a different level, and you know what? These people are thinking they're outsmarting somebody, ain't doing nothing but flushing America further down the drain. We got to look. This is why I say I'm not voting for anybody because they say he's the only one that can beat somebody. I'll vote for this candidate that has no chance, but I can say with my conscience, I don't vote for people. I don't vote for anything. Because they're the only one that wins. You just dropped the standard. You made the standard and not the values the standard. But the standard, you make it winning.
Well, and
you know?
It's so disgusting because there's this attitude that an election is like a Super Bowl. It's an entertainment thing, and whoever can win kind of thing. It's a stupid mentality. It never goes back to core principles. Like if you actually went back to the Constitution and believed in the core principles and promoted being Americans versus all this division, then you'd have something going. But they treat it like it's a Super Bowl game.
Well, you're making up your own rules and your own mind, but there's no standard because the other guy's doing what he thinks is right, and you got to do what he's doing because you got to do what he's doing. And you know what? In any business, in anything. The guy that gets ahead is the one that does what nobody else is doing, you know, finds out what
mm-hmm.
the customer wants and does it. And guess what? When they see you succeeding, then they got to go do what you're doing. But, you know, the thing is that's where the standard keeps dropping. It's the whole thing. Listen, either you believe, and this is what I told a guy recently that has a talk show that teaches the Constitution, if you think that the Republican Party is the only way we can save America, then you need to renounce the Constitution. But you quit saying you believe in the Constitution when you're telling people you got to vote for Romney because we can't afford four more years of Obama because that there's what got Obama elected. Well, anybody but Bush. And if you can link anybody with Bush or that's along his lines, where they didn't vote for him and they did the same thing, it didn't work for the Republicans. And then listen, this is something else that really, I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some people that are going to stand before God because of what they did. These media ministers took money from the Republicans on high. These high-dollar Republicans poured money into some of these ministries so that these Bible thumpers could get down and get their audience to vote for Mitt Romney. Now, they'll tell you, like, focus on the family and James Dobson's Family Talk ministry. I called and talked to them, and I asked them, well, who am I supposed to vote for? And well, we can't afford 4 more years of Obama. Well, who would you suggest I vote for? Well, we don't endorse candidates. Oh, well, you're telling me not to vote for Obama, but you can't tell me who to vote for. That's a stealth endorsement of Romney, because who else is there? You're telling me to vote my value systems. You're causing people to struggle with their conscience because they can't vote for Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney is to the left of Obama. Obama's just now getting around in his life to put into policy what he's believed all of his life. Mitt Romney did this stuff years ago. He's already been doing it. So you're sitting here telling people that anybody, what was this, James Dobson sent a delegate of 8 people to go talk to Mitt Romney, and they were telling him, if you would just say these words, and they told him several things, if you could just say this, this would calm people's fears and they would vote for you. And they said, Mitt Romney, all he did was just smile. He never would say a word. He would never commit to saying these words. And I give the man credit. He's not going to say something that he's going to get caught in a lie later on, because he is going to do what he wants to do, and he knows it. Obamacare is Romneycare. Every one of his staff that worked on a Romneycare is at the White House. The health care czar was the health care aide. You know, the science czar, John Holdren, was the science advisor to Romney. You know, see, there's enough people out here that's looked at this stuff and got resolve, and they're like, you know, you can't, I'm not going to violate my conscience. I got to live with it. And that's why we got to get back to the Constitution, and I'm tired of the Republican Party. Or the Republican Party's a minority now. They got only one option. They can either switch, you know, draft up a message that is consistent with their record, or just simply merge with the Democrats. That's the only thing they can do.
Yeah, I personally don't see any hope for the Republican Party. I think they're beyond saving. But, of course, I've been saying that for a few years, and yet the sheeple out there keep following them the way they've been doing.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to tell you what the problem is with all these citizen candidates, and I appreciate that they're out there trying to do something, and they're worried about their country. Okay, but the problem is most of these people are not political junkies. And they woke up one day, they got their car towed away at 3 in the morning because they're behind on their payments. They go to work and they lose their job, and they're looking at their kids and they're wondering, is their kids going to go to college? What's the future look like? And they rose up because something was not right. Okay, and when they woke up, like they said, the giant woke up. But when the giant woke up, the Republican Party jumped in the Tea Party business and started educating them. And that's why when you go on these Tea Party sites, all you see is we got to change all the Republican, all these Tea Party sites, their vision or their what they're trying to accomplish is all Republican principles. It's a Republican agenda, but not really. It's only what their message is. Their message does not match. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Republican Party had 2 chances from the Great Depression to turn it around. When this guy... what was his name? I'm trying to remember. The guy that screamed against the communism, McCarthy. Okay? Mm-hmm. When McCarthy screamed against, he started rooting out the communism and doing investigations, the Republicans did not jump up and say, yeah, what he said, we're standing beside him. They didn't do that. They sat there while he got tore apart by the communists and the media. And then when he left, the next chance was Reagan. When Reagan came along, Reagan came out of that community. He saw what communism was doing, and he went conservative. And when he got there, he was educated, and his job was to deal with the communists. But when he left, George Bush, Daddy Bush, took over, they went right back to their socialist agenda, moving forward to this one world order. And that was the only chance, the only two chances the Republican Party had to turn it around. But there's too many people in there that either don't have a backbone or they want to do it. That's what they're trying to do. Or they want to be in a good position when it happens so they and their family are set up and they're not a part of the peasant class. But the Republican Party is not conservative. It is socialist. And I dare anybody to go dig into their record and prove me wrong. You know?
I don't think they can. Eisenhower was also another one who was out there warning about the military-industrial complex thing. That was all part of the Agenda 21,
yeah.
One World Order stuff, too. So, and Eisenhower was, he didn't want to be elected. He didn't want to run for president. He did it out of a loyalty or an obligation, true public service. So, and I think that comes down to it. When you talk about why these people run for office, why are you running for office? Most of them are just self-serving career politicians who want the power and the money and the control. They don't have any core beliefs.
But
and
you know, there's not going to be any more Eisenhowers coming along anytime soon because, like most of us, we all got a few mistakes along the way. It doesn't mean that we're completely bad people. We just get stupid on a crazy occasion. But it looks like Obama's taking anybody that could be that candidate that could take America back. He's getting some dirt on them and putting them public.
Both parties do all that. And if Americans don't come together as Americans, get all the other crap out of there too, be Americans, then there isn't any chance. And this, again, is why I keep saying, you know, the Tea Party movement had such an opportunity, but they allowed themselves to be converted. Most of them were already converted sheeple. And it's like, if Americans can't be anything but sheeple, then it's over. We were already socialist, already controlled by King Obama or whoever, and the party doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
And they got it. You see, they're reaching the heart and not the mind. That's why they got to turn people like Sarah Palin and Marco Rubio and Jindal into celebrities because, you know, we'll read about a celebrity that got drunk and got put in jail and they're in rehab. We'll read about those people because we just got to find out what's going on in their life, like their family or something. So let's make a celebrity out of these politicians. And once you love someone, it's hard for you to cuss them because these people will come to their aid. But, you know, the absence of intellect is there, you know. And, you know, that's how they – you know, all I got to say is we got to know what to do and do it. And the right thing to do is the Constitution. And if you say something is in the Constitution and you can't show it to me in black and white, then don't tell me it's in the Constitution. You know, I'm dumb, but I'm not that dumb, you know.
Well, you think about it. These people that are in public office say, if you were going to go out there and say we were going to sit down and give them all a test on the Constitution today, and this go through all the various levels, the state, local, state, federal levels, what do you think would be the average score those elected to public office today truly know about the Constitution? What do you think would be the average score?
It would probably be almost nothing. It really would be nothing, because it's not a part of talk radio. It's not a part of their debate. I remember when they read the Constitution at the beginning, you know, like that was a commitment that they are going to – this new Congress, this 2010 Congress, was going to make the Constitution the bottom line. They got up there and did a little horse and pony show by reading through the whole entire Constitution and jumped right back into business as usual. Nobody's asking, where's this at in the Constitution? You know, they're not committed either. What they need a guy like Bruce Riggs up there that is going to stand up and yell, this is stupid, I'm not doing nothing, we need to look at what it says, rather than, well, we got to get this stuff voted on. There's no hurry. Let's debate it, you know. Let the guidelines be the Constitution. But that's why I'm looking for it. Did you hear from Bobby Bean lately?
I have not heard from Bobby Dean.
He has a book out. Yeah. He got his book published, and I've been telling him he needs to call you up and get on your show and interview him, because I want some of them politicians to find out what he wrote in his book about him. Charlie Crist some true justice. I hope Charlie Crist gets to hear about this. Charlie Crist, yeah, that was funny. But he listed several politicians along the way in his experience, and I think it'd be a good book to read around election time. You know?
This was the book about his child, wasn't it?
Yes, and his process of they really do need to make a movie of what happened in his life. You know, somebody needs to. It's a very strong. He shows you in the first chapter. It just shows you how scary the public school system is, and how he gained a lot of insights. So.
Yeah. And the public school system for many reasons, what happened with his son, and then also, of course, we know the actual education. You don't get any public education either. I mean, I've never been such a supporter or promoter of homeschooling and getting shut down public education for so many reasons it needs to go. But he's definitely got a story, and if you talk to him, I have him on my email list, and I do keep him out there, but I have not heard from him lately, so... Yeah, let him come back on and talk, and promote his book out there.
I'll tell him to send you an email or a call or something and set up a time. Sally, I'm going to tell you what, it's powerful. It is very, very powerful.
The truth.
Yeah, and the thing is, I'm glad he didn't have nothing bad to say about me. Okay, because of course, I'm not running for election either, but it was just the way it is, and it ain't pretty.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. He was running for office at that time, and the same old game, the same stuff we say. The corruption, the elections are so corrupt. People think that Americans have the representation of their choice. They're fooling themselves. They're drinking the GOP and the DNC Kool-Aid or whatever, because that just isn't it. The elections are so corrupt, and if we don't get that back and we don't come together as a united people to demand the Constitution, really, what are we? I mean, as
you,
the
you know, it's funny.
Gone?
It's, you say corruption. Bobby Bean was on Bud Hedinger's show this morning because they were talking about Chris, and he got Bobby caught in, and he was telling him, you know, about how evil he is. He's really not good, but Bud cut him off. I've talked to him afterwards after I heard him. I called him up, and he was telling me that I said you should have mentioned the name of your book, and he goes, I did. And Bud cut you off, because when he said what he said, he goes, I wrote about it in my book, and then he named the name of the book, and Bud cut him off.
Figures.
And I said, there's, and then something else too. I seen he was talking to Lou Fry talking about this morning about how Rubio won against Chris in a landslide, and I emailed Rush. I emailed Bud and reminded him it wasn't a landslide. He won because Chris split the vote. Chris and Meeks got 51%. Rubio got 49. How is that a landslide? The only reason, if it would have been Meeks against Rubio, he would have lost. You know. So, but the thing is that this is the key. This is the key. This is why you remember in the primaries, they had a primary congressional debate. Bud Hedinger emceed it. But when they had and there was never an announcement. And the reason I know there was an announcement, I was emailing Bud saying, when are you going to have the a Senate debate, because there was two candidates that was running as Republican citizen candidates. One of them was a colonel retired from the Air Force, had a strong history of leadership, and then there was a doctor, and health care was his motive. they couldn't get on any media, either one of the media, and I talked to them. I tried to get them out there, but they ignored them. But that's why Rubio, there was no primary debate for the Senate.
Right.
And that's why Rubio won with 84%, because if you walk into the poll and you see Rubio and these other two guys and you've not heard from them, who are they, what do they believe? For a lot of these people that ain't out calling the candidates and going to their sites and finding out what makes them tick, guess what? If you've been working and you just went down to the polls and all you're hearing is the news on the left media and the Republican media, all you're going to do is just vote for the only name you've heard. That was deception, you know?
It is,
yeah. It is deception. Charlie, that is corruption.
Well, exactly. And Charlie's out there. Looks like he's going to join into this. But anytime you talk about Rubio, you got to make sure you mention Fox News gave him all that free time, too. So, Charlie, you had some comments on what Nathan's saying?
Yeah, Bobby Bean, what's the name of the book? You never mentioned it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot. You can go to his website on Bobby Bean at what's his, you know, his Facebook. He's on Facebook. They got a picture of it there. I think he's got, I don't go to Facebook that much, but he goes, I think it has a review on it.
Name it again.
Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot.
And where can you get it at?
Any place you can get books. I went to Barnes & Noble's and they didn't have any in stock, so I ordered one. And the lady was telling me anytime they order a book they don't have, they order two, so they got one on the shelf. I got this one, the one down by the Florida Mall, by Amazon. I think Amazon is probably cheaper than those bookstores that's on this major highway. It's
Shattered Dreams.
Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot.
Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Because,
and,
you know, I have a, I really believe that might be a good book to take to Disney World. I mean, for him to take to the Disney Studios.
There you go. Do you
now,
know anybody out
is,
there that can
I,
get
if
him
I
in?
Can get a, if I can get a copy of that, I've got a person that works for Disney, and he's got some friends who in California who are on the they're the Imagineers team.
Yeah.
And they come here to Disney World every so often, and they look him up, and he gets together with them. I gave him the history of my hometown. I gave him two books on that because they're always looking for locations.
Well, I'm going to tell you this book, when, at Barnes & Noble's, when I went in there, they had it listed under the child section because I guess it's on bullying. But after reading it, and it was one of them books that you ain't going to read over a long period of time. When you start reading it, you can't set it down. But when you – I got it read, I don't read straight through. I read a chapter. I complete a chapter, and then I come back to it. But I got through it in 4 days, and I'm a pretty – I got a pretty busy schedule. But when you read it, you will see that if you had to put it in a bookshelf, there's a place for it under civil rights, under political, under law, under children. There's so many different places you could put it in a library to fall under a certain subject. It is amazing. It is amazing. But when you read... I read the first chapter, and I took it over to my sister, and I said, read this. In just a few minutes, she read it, and she goes, wow, this is so true. In the first chapter, he talks about the monster that the public school system is, and he pointed out how he learned that the education, through the education you have intertwined with it, psychologists, the psychology, the law is involved, just so many different things. And one of the things that he pointed out that my sister said is so true, you can get in trouble. Say, for instance, somebody picks on your kid, and you decide you're going to go down there and you're going to get in somebody's face because you're not going to let this teacher do this or this kid do this to your kid. Well, next thing you know, you got people knocking on your door, and they're determining that maybe you need to go see a psychologist because of the way you behaved. You just got angry, and next thing you know, they're threatening to take your kids, and they got DCF, and they got charges against you, and you realize the power they have in so many different directions in the education system. And the way he explained it, I just thought, man, this sounds like something that comes out of yeah. I guess like a Russia or a
yeah.
Hitler.
Well, I need to get a copy of that. And you know, shattered dreams, broken patriot. I'm gonna suggest that to Costco.
Yes.
You know, all I got to do is write it down and just say that and give it and put it in the box and say, check this book out.
You know what? I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. And I think every politician needs to read this book to see
how much did it cost you? How much was it?
God, I don't even remember.
On Amazon, it's $13.45 on Amazon.
Whenever I bought it, I bought it and paid for it and had them deliver it straight to my house. So it was probably a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
What is showing on Amazon right now is list price $14.95, sale $13.45, eligible for free super saver shipping or something.
Oh,
so
okay.
And it's got a little bit of a description here too. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, it's. I remember when he first was working on it, and that was when he was first running for office. And yeah, we got to get Bobby back on.
All right. I got to go.
Merry Christmas to you.
Hey,
Merry Christmas
and Happy New Year to you all.
Merry Christmas.
I'll talk to you later. See you Friday, Sally.
Yep. It's about, anyway. Yes. We got about 15 minutes left, so you got a couple minutes
left. Okay, well, I'm going to hang up and keep listening, but you guys got a great show. But this Tea Party thing is what woke me up when you got to that part, because it's like, you know, these people need to be educated, and you know, I don't mean to be rude. I really don't. I know I got some emotion into what is important to me, but I flat out had to just tell people what they need to do. You need to either renounce the Constitution, okay? You need to renounce the Constitution, or, you know, just renounce it, or either let's do it. Just start pushing. But if it ain't in there, don't tell me something's in there that ain't there. Don't tell me the way we've always done it. If you like the way we're doing it, there's a thing called repeal. Add to it or take away from it. But don't be saying, well, you know. And I was talking to a guy on the radio on his show, and I told him something, and he says, no. I said, but it says right here, and I read it. And he goes, well, it ain't even supposed to be in there. And then so I said, okay, hold on a second. I repealed it. Oh, you mean I just took my white out and changed it to what you said it said? He got mad, but yeah, it says it's either you believe it or you don't, or you agree with it or you don't. But quit saying it. You believe in the Constitution, and then don't believe in it. That there is, you're deluding your mind. I mean, I disagree with a lot of things that I can't change, but I can't delude myself from reality, you know.
Right, and that's the whole point. And I mean, that's, to me, that's the number one question to ask any of these. Okay, you say you believe in the Constitution, so what part are you going to follow? Because they don't follow it. They go out there and they tout that they believe in it when they're running for office. But wait a minute, how can you do this if you believe in the Constitution? How do you do that?
Well, this is the thing. We got like this thing called the Electoral College that doesn't work for any other party but the two major parties, and. But we hear people say, well, we can't do away with the Electoral College because then you got a handful of major cities around the country could determine the direction of the country. Okay, well then guess what? If you were to decide to repeal the Electoral College, the Constitution at that point, if you made an amendment, would be inconsistent because you would repeal something that ain't in there. Okay, you got to either make a law or a custom or a regulation to stop it because it's not in there. So I'm just saying, and the election process, in the election process in the Constitution, anybody wants to run can run, and they have a vote. It doesn't matter if there's 10 or 20 people up there. Whoever gets the most votes wins, And then whoever's left in that elimination, there's another vote, and that's when the electors vote for them. And whoever's got the most votes out of whoever's up there is the winner. And if there's a tie, then the Senate decides it. But it says that in black and white. So, and I get to vote for the president, and then I get another vote, I get to vote for a vice president, and then I get another vote, I get to vote for the electors of the president and vice president. You know, it sounds like to me a guy could end up being a president with a vice president he don't get along with. See, whenever you start saying, okay, I want this guy here to be my running mate the way we got it together, you got right there, you got a team. You got a team that's got all one agenda, okay?
Right.
And you got and you're fighting another team that's got another agenda, so you got something that's fixed. And in order to get people to vote for you, you got to tell them, well, the Democrats, they'll tell you, we'll give you all these goodies, okay? But the Republicans, they got to tell people, well, this is what I want to do because it's responsible. But they're not going to do it. If they did it, they if they were fighting Obama, they would have fought him and beat him the last 4 years. They can't. They can't because they have the same. They proved it. Bonnier don't know the Constitution. After the election, somebody asked him about, a reporter asked him about the, what about Obama's health care? Are you going to repeal it? He goes, well, it stands. Obama won. Oh, so that there's the process of making laws, is if you win an election, you get your way. Now, that doesn't sound like anything I've read in the Constitution. And Bonnier's our man. He's going to save our country. He's going to save us against the Democrats. You know, quit lying to me. Quit lying to me. Let's just go ahead and flush the commode and tell us goodbye because we're gone. But don't be sitting there telling us it's a wonderful life and you're going to save us from something that you're a part of.
Exactly. And if the Republicans truly believe, the defeat of the Supreme Court and all this other garbage, if the Republicans truly believed or opposed Obamacare, they would be out there promoting the states to not do the state exchanges, stop it at the state level. They would be promoting that they weren't going to fund it. They were not going to help fund it. But they're doing everything to be part of the problem. They're no different than the Democrats.
Well, I know this much. I've told people that I work with, and I got a couple of people that don't like me anymore, people I've known for several years, you know, but that one guy, when he seen me after the election, well, you happy now? We got Obama for the last. I told him I was not going to vote for Romney, and I'm not going to be a vote for Obama because I don't vote for Romney. It's a vote neither one of them got. So I voted for Jesus Christ. That's who I voted for because I wrote it in so that somebody can't see it blank and scratch in who they think I wanted to vote for. Okay, but the thing is I know that doesn't make sense, but I used up my space because I'm not going to vote for somebody just because you think he can win and you don't own my vote. The Republican Party doesn't own my vote, and the Republican Party doesn't even own registered Republicans' votes. So when you start telling people you have to vote for this guy or it's a vote for the other one if you don't vote for either one of them, you're talking to me like I'm a slave. You're going to tell me. You see, no, don't be doing that because you're doing to me what the politicians are trying to do, and that there's enslave my mind. Don't make me think the way you think. I'm not a politician. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I use my mind. And I research to the best of my ability, I don't even have to fight the issues. I don't have to debate the issues. All I want to do is debate the consistency of the candidate to the issues he's running on. And right there, even if I agree or disagree with him, doesn't matter. If you can't tell me the truth, okay, I can't vote for you because I already know you don't have the character it takes to be leading people.
Exactly.
You know? So,
that's exactly it.
But
and it's
I'm
if Americans can't vote for someone, if the American people cannot vote on principle, if they insist on being totally converted and brainwashed and whatever you want to call it, duped into these two stupid parties, this is why we're in the mess we're in. If the American people voted for truly what they believed in principles, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. If the American people would live by the principles they claim they believe in, we wouldn't be in the mess again. But it's all because of all the games, surrendering their rights over to these political parties, and trying to also gain power for those who are in office and the games they play, you know, making promises. We know the bribery and the corruption's there throughout the thing. Even if this crazy lady up in Detroit, you know, she went out there saying it out there in the public forum, but we all know what happens all over the place. So, yeah, we're going to be supporting you. You're going to send us some of that money, right? Yeah, of course. The corruption is just, it's outrageous. It's all over the place. Americans have lost their way. We better not be criticizing anybody else. Yeah.
Well, this is the problem, and this is where we got to hit the target. See, if you got cobwebs, you can keep cleaning cobwebs out, but what the problem is the spider. You need to get rid of the spider, okay? So what I've been doing is whenever I get one of these emails from somebody, one of these special interest groups, y'all need to call people to do this, and you need to send this on to your friends. I call them up on their, and I call them out on their consistency. You want me to keep doing this stuff, but you know what? I'm wasting my time. I'm getting people stirred up over an issue that you are promoting the wrong people that can get the thing done that you're trying to get done. Is John Stenberger spent all this? You know what I did for John Stenberger whenever he was trying to get the marriage amendment? Because I don't have the time to go out on a street corner someplace and get people to sign ballots. I got a whole bunch of copies of ballots. And I'd be talking with somebody at work, and I'd hand him a ballot, and with an envelope already stamped and addressed back to him. And I said, look, don't get a whole bunch. Just go home, get your wife, your neighbors, your in-laws, and stuff, and then drop it in the mail. Just get a handful of signatures, drop it in the mail, and send it back to him. You know, it's not a whole page filled out, but it's numbers. And you know what? He told me later, man, you really knocked a lot of signatures out just by having a couple signatures put on there, and they're going to drop it in the mail after a couple people signs it because it's already pre-stamped. They're not doing any work. I did that for him. And you know what? That contributed to something. And then all of a sudden he wants me to call a politician because they're pushing through a gay marriage issue. You know what? The reason they've lost this gay marriage issue is because they got Mitt Romney and all these other Republicans up there that are for this, but can't say that because they want the Bible thumpers and the conservatives and the moral people to vote for them so they can get more numbers than the Democrats. You know, if you want to do something, do the job right, get the right message consistent with what you're trying to do, and just quit. I'm not going to get out here passing emails around, calling people. I've probably put hundreds, sometimes maybe thousands of hours into these issues only to see that the same guy that I'm trying to help out in his cause is the one that it's like he ain't got no discretion on the people he's hanging out with, you know?
Yeah.
So either he has no discretion or he's just in this because it's a money game and he's making money by getting all this bureaucracy of all these peasants down here jumping because an issue's important to them, you know? Like I said, if they want to flush the country, don't get me busy working while you're flushing me. Just go ahead and flush me. I'll wave at you goodbye. You know?
Right. And there's so much, the games that have been played with the money and this stuff, too, just like Dick Armey leaving Freedom Works with a $8 million parachute or whatever. I mean, the money has gotten into these things. Again, these people aren't for it. They're not in it for the right reasons. They're out there making it. And, I mean, I understand more than just as well as anybody else, it costs money to get these campaigns going and put the message out there. But these people who are making all this money at the top, you're the same problem as what's in public office. You're not there for loyalty. You're there for the money. So give me
Well, do you remember whenever the Tea Party first came up, and I heard this here in Orlando, I heard Bud Hedinger talking about it. They were not going to charge for people to come to a tea party. Then as soon as, you know, they was just going to be all volunteer, everybody pitches in. And then when they had a big old meeting someplace with Sarah Palin and some of the other big names, and it cost $500 a seat.
There
was the deal. Right there was the deal. And the reason, and you know, this is what I don't understand. They got Dick Armey started the Tea Party, intercept Republican people and save the Republican Party organization. And at the same time, during that same time, he was doing speeches for amnesty.
Yeah, and we're down to 60 seconds here. Gonna get cut off here and just.
Man, I talk more than a woman, Donna.
This was great discussion. You're gonna make sure you call in Thursday. We're not gonna have a show because my father's funeral is on Friday, so I'm taking Thursday off. But we will definitely be here on Monday. Please call in, and we will continue this discussion. And as always, it's excellent conversation, Nathan. Get Bobby Bean. We'll get him out here. And to everybody else who's listening, thank you for tuning in, and may God bless the USA. Please have a very Merry Christmas. We will talk next time on Monday, Nathan. Thank you again.